Crop formations. Let's take your phone calls with Patty Greer when we return in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back. Patty Greer with us. Of course, we'll get to your calls as well. Patty, truly, this is a very interesting stuff that's happening to the planet. Would you call it scientific or more spiritual?
It's definitely a combo platter. It's definitely both. And I think if we're ready to graduate, let's talk about those balls of light that people are filming.
Yes.
Such as myself.
They call them orbs, I guess.
No.
Plasma balls?
Plasma. This is, yeah. I think that, again, it's just my perception, but I think we've got different densities here. Orbs are a little less dense,
mm-hmm.
where these plasma balls are thicker and they're solid, whereas an orb you can see through. And they have patterns, but these balls of light that I've filmed and that my friends have filmed over there over the crop circles are orange, and they're bold. It's a different look. So these balls of light, literally, Levengood and Penny explained that at the base of the vortex there is this is the ball. And the ball is the result of the spin. And when all of those combinations of different frequencies are at the right frequency to lay the pattern down, all you see is a spinning ball of light. You can't tell it's spinning because it's up there in the sky, but it's a spinning ball of plasma that to the eye, human eye, looks like a light. And between those balls of light, right before they'll swoop over the field, and right before they lay the formation down, they send a communication between them, which is in binary code. And for some reason, when I came home in 2007, the year when I had my experience, I had gotten permission to use that famous footage, the Oliver's Castle footage, at the end of my movie. I stuck it in. And I didn't know how to make movies. I had no idea why I hired a film crew, except that everybody speaking at the big event at the end of summer were people I'd laid in the crop circles with all season.
Mm-hmm.
And I went for 9 weeks. I was hardcore. So I bring home the footage. I lay out the movie. I hired a kid on Craigslist to be my editor. Had no idea what I was doing. It was completely telepathic. We get to the end of the movie. I lay in the Oliver's Castle footage, and I said, wow, awesome. This is great. It shows people what happened. And I said, let's shut it down. I think the movie's done. Let's take a break, go out on the deck. So he turned everything off, and we're walking out, and I looked over my shoulder, and I said, whoa, you didn't turn the monitor off. What is that blue orb on the monitor? There's this big blue orb. And we both walked up, and I said, that's not even in the movie. And he said, Patty, the monitor's unplugged from the wall.
Ah, ha, ha.
And all of a sudden, in my little cabin in Boulder, Colorado, in the mountains, the hair went up on my arms. I got chills on the top of my head, goosebumps head to toe, and the kid looks at me and he goes, you look weird. And I said, I feel like I'm in a crop circle.
Have they ever scared you, the crop formations?
God, no.
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 It's never that feeling.
No, it's lousy humans. But they don't scare
the
me
ones.
Either. I disregard. So anyway, I'm feeling weird, and all of a sudden I said to the editor, sit back down, light the gear up. He said, why? I thought we were going to take a break. And I said, sit down, please. Turn it on. Reverse that footage. Why? I said, I don't know. Just do it. Here it comes, this communication again. So he reverses the footage. We sat there watching, and I said, slow it down. He said, how slow? I said, I don't know, 30%. Oh, my God. Why did I say that? And we just looked at each other, and he slowed it down 30%, and bang. Right before your eyes, I said, lock that frame. Oh, my God. It was a binary code between the two balls of light in Oliver's Castle. I found this 8 years ago. 8 years ago.
What's controlling this?
Pardon me?
What's controlling this?
Well, again, you've got the Earth. Occasionally you have humans. Occasionally you have ETs. Always the Earth. This is a very solid communication coming from a living entity that we are doing bad things to. So the thing is that plasmas communicate through a series of on and off clicks. So it's like a bar. It's a series of zeros and ones, blacks and whites, bar coding, whatever you want to call it. It's like a binary code. And those two balls of light They had a moment of communication that was caught on film, but nobody found it because people weren't listening to the telepathic communications that are coming to a lot of people. We're so dang busy texting and being trying to just survive that we're not having quiet moments where we can actually receive information.
And pay attention.
Yeah.
We're just not
My life is so different. Since contact, I've really had to replace all my friends because, like I say, I live in a city where it's all about clean BMWs and fancy this and that, and they don't want to hear about anything that's going to shift things. So bear with me, but, you know, I can't wait for these conferences because then I can be around
You're around people who get you. That's right. Let's take some calls because they're lining up for you. We'll start with Susan in Mount Shasta, California.
Ooh.
On the Wildcard Line. Go ahead, Susan.
Good evening or good morning now. I have a question. In 2003, I was in June 2003, I was in England, and a group of my friends and I, we snuck into one of the farmers' fields to go into one of the crop circles. So we climbed over the fence, went through the field with our flashlights, and got out there and started, you know, just running around having fun in the crop circle. It was a very euphoric feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And we started to take pictures, and the first picture I took, my flash went off, and as the flash went off, I could see the light move through the distance between myself and my friend that I was taking the picture of. It was like dropping a pebble in a pond where the light just expanded and expanded and expanded until it finally got to her in the flash. And I was wondering if anybody has ever observed that, or if it was like a time distortion, or what was happening in that crop circle.
Well, that was like a great experience, first off. How wonderful that you can remember it totally. But interestingly enough, there's a man in my movie that talks about the very thing I was just talking about, the Oliver's Castle footage, and he said the same words you did, which is that when he looked at it frame by frame, the communication between the balls of light, or he was looking at actually the moment when these plasma balls were laying the field down, he said as the field went down, it looked like a wagon wheel. Where when you watch a wheel, sometimes it's going in one direction, but it looks like it's going in the other. That's what he said was happening in the crop circles, was that they were actually like where you think it's going out, but it's actually coming back. It was actually zero point, where it's going clockwise and counterclockwise at the same time. So I think what you saw, I don't know what you saw, but it sounds a little bit similar to what is happening literally, is that there's this field of movement. So it's not really what we see, but it's almost more about what we don't see. But you, it sounds like you saw a lot. That's amazing.
Do people normally see a lot?
You know, those of us that are hooked, that are the regular crappies, we do see a
lot.
You do. But you have to be brave. And when Janet Osebard from Holland takes people on the night watch, now I heard you say you had a flashlight, so you were there at night. That's brave. But Janet takes out groups to do night watch communications with the beings. And she makes you sign something saying, I swear I won't be scared. I mean, it's really interesting. The consciousness that you have to do this communication and to do this work without fear is an easy thing if you want to be there, but you have to want to be there. And I think a lot of people would be too scared. The first time I got in the little microlight airplane, the pilot looked at me and said, door on or door off, as he's holding the door.
Yeah.
On my side, I said, you're kidding.
Just
I thought
be
he was
strapped
kidding.
In and don't let go.
Oh, my God, I'm holding all this gear, and he's no door on my side. And I was like, no way. And he said, well, the professionals. And I was like, oh, God, really?
How do these farmers feel, Patty, about what's happened to their fields and people coming and going?
You know, there's, of course, a mix. But I think what's happened lately is that the, I don't want to point at the military, but they do drop their helicopters pretty close to us, and they're very irritating. But the farmers, some of them will put up like a coin box and say, please drop a couple pounds in. But then when I ask the farmers, do you get paid? Do you feel it? And they say, no, somebody always robs the box. So the farmers aren't making money. I've only met one who had a good attitude about it. A lot of them are kind of tired of it now because there's abusive circle followers that don't.
That's right.
That'll go in and smoke a cigarette in a farm field. You just don't do that.
No.
So it's called etiquette. And over there we have crop circle etiquette. When you walk in a farm field, there's a track line where the farmer drives his tractor. So the wheels go in a tram line, and you're asked to walk in the tram line so you don't hurt the wheat. We do that. And when people don't, then the farmers get mad. But I think generally there's some that are very honored. They know that it's a gift, and they also know that it's their land being marked as something sacred.
Well, that's important, too, that spot.
So.
Why that spot? Let's go to Frank in Hollywood, Maryland now. Frank, you're on with Patty Greer. Go ahead.
Howdy, good. Glad to be back with you. Ms. Greer, the first popsicle you ever saw, could you roll out something for me? Could it be the exhaust imprint or the actual imprint of a cloaked vehicle that makes rather large to make these circles, because the moon landing, the exhaust made an imprint, and the actual landing made an imprint of the vehicle itself. Could you rule that out for me?
I can't rule it out for you because I don't want to say anything is not true if I can't prove it. But to the best of my ability, these things are coming out of the earth. You know, I mean, if a ship came and imprinted a circle, I can see that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that most of them that are actually messages with information are literally coming from us, the Earth, and occasionally ETs.
Could it be up? Could it be all of the above, Patty?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Many of them are all three. Do you remember that incredible 409 circles that was a major number of
huge
Fibonacci sequences in a spiral?
Yeah.
That happened on the rainiest night, and there were no footprints.
No, humans couldn't do that.
No,
there's
409
no way.
Circles. I think another very amazing one, bright daylight, middle of the day, Stonehenge, thousands of people walking around, and the guard walking around the base of the outside border.
Mm-hmm.
Every 15 minutes they had to do a loop. And a pilot flew over with a scientist to measure different things about Stonehenge, and the pilots have a way in, and they go the same way back to their airport. And the pilot reported that he flew into Stonehenge, they did their measurements, he turned around within 15 minutes, headed back, and there was the Julia set, triple Fibonacci sequence, right in the middle of the field. And once somebody discovered it, the pilot reported in, the guards were alerted, somebody new went across the street, and then hundreds of people ran across the highway and went into this crop circle. Middle of the day. I mean, how does that happen? Yeah.
That's right. How does that happen? Julie's in Nebraska, east of the Rockies. Hi, Julie. Go ahead.
Hello. I would like you to explain to me your definition of plasma, because I'm just thinking of it, you know, as what's in the blood.
Ah.
So,
well,
I just started getting into this stuff a few months
for you.
Ago. I mean, I had a couple of experiences with ETs when I was younger, but I thought I was imagining it because I used to do acid back then and stuff. But I'm very well educated about things, and I'm trying to see the other side of it now.
Sure.
Rather than
your blood, it does have plasma, but as explained by Levengood, plasma is the basis of all matter. So everything is plasma. Everything that is alive is plasma. Everything is plasma.
And unlike solids, liquids, and gases, plasma is totally different.
Mm-hmm. They're all included together because they are plasma.
They are plasmas.
Everything is plasma. And that's why they've hidden this science so well. That's what Tesla was working with. This is what all the free energy devices are working with. All the ships are spinning plasma. And they're going clockwise and counterclockwise, and when they find that zero point, the ship dissipates.
Patty, so many people think that if the worst happens, ETs are going to come down here and save us. They've attempted to shut down, and they have shut down some of our nuke sites. I don't know why they're doing that. But people think they're going to come save us. I don't think they'll get involved. What do you think?
I think they've been here longer than we have, and I don't think they're going to come down. I think they're already here. And I think a lot of people are working with them. Again, it's only my perception. But I think that humanity's gone past the brink of stuck on stupid. Bear with me. But to allow chemtrailing to go on this long when this many people know, to allow the vaccine program to go on like this, all these things are just, everybody knows, but nobody's doing enough to stop it. So I think that's why we're having a lot of extraterrestrial interference now, is because they're saying, not only are you destroying your planet, but now you're doing these wars in space and you're going to destroy ours.
Good point. Let's go to...
Yeah, I think they've drawn the line. And shutting down the nuclear sites, how fantastic.
That's a good message there. Joe in the Bronx in New York. Hi, Joe.
How you doing?
Good.
I'd like to ask Ms. Greer. Now, you mentioned you had an experience where you were in a crop circle. I'm not sure if it's the Sugar Hill, but you were in a crop circle and your vision improved. Is this a common trait of crop circles as far as you know? And was the improvement in vision permanent?
I don't know if it happens to other people. That's interesting. I haven't really asked other people. Yes, my vision has stayed good. I used to wear glasses. Now I don't.
That's strange.
But it's more about sensitivity. I think that my intuition is what shifted the most. And I should probably wear a warning shot T-shirt. You don't want to lie to me. I've been thinking I need to make the T-shirt. Because I don't have any patience anymore for people lying. And in this field of ufology, which has never been more important, we've got an awful lot of people lying. And
why do they do that?
Why? Because they're paid, probably, or they're just small-minded and they don't want the world to wake up. Your show is breaking it. Your show gets through like nobody else, other than Alfred Lambermont Weber. His show killed.
Good old Alfred.
Oh, my God. So I sent him a link. And for your birthday, which is coming up, by the way, everybody needs to wish George a happy birthday. I'm giving you one of my new movies. But I sent it to Alfred, and I'm really quite delighted with his response. He actually wrote me a review that made me kind of blown away. Can I read this just the first little bit?
I've got 20 seconds. Let's do it when we come back.
Tropical Diaries by filmmaker Patty Greer is so groundbreaking that it is the first film I've ever seen that should be made into a science textbook for mandatory distribution with the film to futurists, agriculturists, nutritionalists, educators, all UN officials, all high school and university physics students, all elected public officials concerned with governance worldwide. Crop Circle Diaries is a clear and transparent bridge from the era of energy, petroleum, nuclear, and explosions, to the era of energy, plasma, and consciousness.
That is quite a write-up. We're going to come back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Gosh, are your days all screwed up because of Memorial Day? Mine are. So on our next Coast to Coast program, should you download Windows 10? Lauren Weinstein joins us as we talk about technology for a couple hours. And then a spirit medium is going to join us as well, talking about the other side. And when we come back in a moment with our guest, Patty Greer, we'll take final phone calls here as we talk about crop formations and crop circles on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to our final segment with Patty Greer. We'll get to your calls as well. Great information, Patty, by the way, and thank you for doing what you do.
Oh, thank you, George. I appreciate that.
Not a lot of people are doing it as in-depth as you anymore.
No, I don't know anybody who's plowing the fields like I am. I think most people have given up because I think there's so many trolls out now that are just debunking all ufology, and then you've got the funded speakers that are confusing the field, and it's really difficult to be out there telling the truth. It's a very difficult time to be out there telling the truth, but there's never been a more important time because we've got big changes to pull off.
Well, we sure do.
And, you know, another thing, the other movie that I finished this year, I'd love to mention, it's called The Women of Today. And the reason I want to mention it is because the women of today is a very important part of the shift. And it's what Laura talks about, Laura Eisenhower. And I didn't mean to make a women's movie. It was not on my mind. But 33 women that are doing amazing things for the planet are in this film. And I was so excited to finally make a non-UFO movie and maybe, you know, break out as a filmmaker that the general public can relate to. And then I got my 33 women, and I'm in the edit, and I'm realizing three of them are working on the Mars mission personally. And then there's Barbara Lamb. So I was like, oh, what the hey? And then I let Barbara introduce me as the contactee. So I was like, well, I guess it is another UFO movie, ultimately. But it's the purpose is about empowering the women. And when I even think of your show, Coast to Coast, how many decades have you had those two amazing women backstage, Lisa Lyon and Stephanie?
Oh, yeah.
My God, but do we hear about them? So I want to give a shout out to your girls, your women of today, that work really hard to make your show amazing. And, I mean, you and Tom are the front men that just pull it off, and it's beautiful.
But we call Lisa the puppet master. You don't see her, but she's there with her strings.
Well, she's amazing.
She sure is.
Love it that she calls me now. That means a lot.
See, you've made your own.
Oh man, a lot of sweat here though, I gotta tell you. It's But you know, I think a lot of people really misunderstand what it's like to be a filmmaker. They're like, you know, fame and fort. It's like, no. There's no money in this. There's no money in ufology. There is so many trolls paid to hide our stuff.
For the love of the game, that's why you do it.
Oh, no, I do it because I want to help save the planet. I've got kids and a grandkid. I mean,
oh, do you?
I can't stand this.
I've got six little ones out there. Let's go to Thomas in La Jolla, California. Thomas, you're on with Patty. Go ahead.
George Norrie, thank you for taking my call.
Welcome.
Thank you for your service and your wonderful staff. And above all, happy birthday this weekend.
Thank you.
And Patty, it's an honor and a privilege to speak with you.
Thank you. My
question is about, well, in all traditions around the world, everybody believes that the Earth is alive, that it's the mother, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But they also, there's a belief worldwide in nature spirits. In Britain, specifically, the nature spirits of fire, air, water, and earth, that would be the salamanders, the sylphs of the air, the undines of the waters, the gnomes of the earth. And I was wondering if Dr. Levengood and or you, you know, speak about the nature spirits, how we can possibly partner with the nature spirits and with our own Mother Earth to bring about a new Earth, purify it, cleanse it, etc. And I'll let you speak from there.
All right, thanks, Thomas.
Well, that's beautiful. You're talking of the elementals, and we're all a team here. This is a beautiful plan, and it's our prayer is that we can work together and make the change that we need. And I want to thank you for saying Dr. William Levengood, because that reminds me that we deserve the punchline of what happened, right?
You got that right.
So okay. Levengood had this troll thrown in at the last minute, and the troll knew that Levengood had a speech impediment. And the troll got in his face and started yelling. And he said, if you can't talk, you won't pass your PhD. And the troll was finger on the chest, being a nasty man, and Levengood got really upset, and all of a sudden he stuttered and he couldn't talk.
Oh, gosh. What got him into this, Patty? He was a biophysicist. Why did he decide to, get involved with crop formations?
Well, his whole interest was plants. And he did all kinds of experiments. And when somebody started bringing samples from crop circles, and he saw these biophysical changes that nothing could create, that he could imagine, he got interested.
That did it.
Yeah. And the these biophysical changes are absolutely incredible. The nodes, every 4 or 5 inches on the stalk of any crop, has this little strengthening elbow, and the nodes actually exploded or they elongated. I mean, there's nothing that can cause that we know of. So that was what got him extremely excited. And then he started getting samples from some crop circles that had this reddish hard stuff, and he peeled it off the leaf, and it showed the whole framework of the leaf in this metal. And so he did all these tests, and he found that it was iron ore. How does iron ore mold? It has to be 1,200 degrees to be molten, to mold to the leaf. So how did we have this 1,200 degree iron ore floating through a field in the middle of the night and not burn the field down? These are massive biophysical evidence pieces that say this is not fake. This is something happening that is not anything we know of. It's not something that we can create. On the other hand, after all the experiments they did, he did figure out how to recreate these frequencies, and he created a variety of different devices where he could then enhance seeds to make them have the same benefits as crop circle frequencies. And Penny said they grew zucchinis that were 5 feet long. I mean,
I love
she
it.
Said some of the food was actually, what was the word? She used like obnoxiously big. But what happened at the end was Levengood walked out. He just couldn't speak. So he walked out of the event because he knew the guy was going to be relentlessly bad, and he never went back. He said, "I've already done the research. I have the science. Who needs their paperwork?" And he never went back for more. So years later, he got a letter from the National Science Academy in Washington, and they asked him to come and present his theory on the atomic structure of glass. And they sent him a contract, and at the bottom it said, "Please attach your PhD." And he wrote back and said, "I'm so sorry. They threw somebody in at the last minute that didn't want me to pass, and we had an issue, and I don't have a PhD. And they wrote back and they said, a PhD is, you either have to have the paperwork or the scientific experience and the education, and you have both. We consider you an honorary PhD. The Academy of Science told Levengood in writing that they considered him an honorary PhD because he did everything other than tolerate the troll and get the number, the letters behind his name. So they said, "We consider you a PhD." So he would never put it behind his name, but he did from that day forward occasionally use the term Dr. William Levengood. And because the troll and his team were so, how do you say, well-funded, they spread the rumor that Levengood then was calling himself a doctor, and he wasn't, and he was a liar, and that's how they got all of his work hidden all these years.
All right, let's take some final calls. Well said, by the way, Penny. Let's go to Pamela in Santa Rosa, California. Hi, Pamela, go ahead.
Hi, George. Hey, did you know that Linda Moulton Howe was the first to, another amazing woman, was the first one to mention that that's the way the crop circles were formed a couple months ago on your program?
Mm-hmm. Indeed. She's been working at that almost all her career, too. Patty does it exclusively. You know, Linda handles all these other different stories, but Linda was involved in it in a big way, too.
Yes, I just wanted her to get a little credit.
Oh, she gets it. She gets it. She's going to be at Contact in the Desert, too. And you know what, Patty, as we talked about, there aren't a lot of people dedicating their careers to this phenomenon.
Crop circles or ufology?
Well, crop circles primarily.
Well, I got to tell you, if I had known how expensive and how awful the trolls are, I probably wouldn't have done it. But it wasn't like I was given a choice. I mean, I went, I had no idea, and as soon as I laid in the first one, I was like, sold. And then I went for 9 weeks the next summer and didn't get up. And there's nothing more important than, I mean, for me, not only did I prove the Oliver's Castle footage is real, in my opinion, and found the communication, but I showed the photo to Penny Kelly on camera, and the first thing she said was, "Oh my God, you've got a photo of two plasmas communicating. Where'd you get that photo?" And I said, "Oliver's Castle." It blew her mind. But not only do I have the Oliver's Castle two balls of light in the new movie, my last, but somebody from France sent me footage that nobody, I don't think, in the world has seen, unless he's put it out. I don't know, he, she, a bizarre name. The person sent it to me, a link of two balls of light laying a crop circle down in France. And so I've got two different footages of plasma creating a crop circle in seconds. And I'm sure it's going to make a lot of people mad. I already got one little letter from one of the trolls tonight listening to your show. And my message to that little boy, Jason Lee, is turn the channel. Don't get mad. Don't give me all your little cuss.
Why are they mad at you? What are they mad at you for?
They don't want the truth getting out. They want misinformation. They don't want gas and oil to go away. They don't want to save the mother.
Jim is a first-time caller in Colorado. Jim, you're on with Patty Greer. Go ahead.
Hi, George. Happy birthday this weekend.
Thank you, Jim.
Patty, thank you for your work. Patty, I'm wondering, have you ever heard of the Keshe Foundation? That's K-E-S-H-E.
Yes.
Yes, he's working with plasma, like you mentioned. I ordered a plasma reactor that I'm starting to put together in my home. And what it does, George, is it you hook it up and it slowly goes through and it nano-coats plasma through all the wiring in your home.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't replace electricity.
Huh.
But after about 12 months or so, you won't have to be on the grid, and all of the electrical appliances and everything in your home will still work.
I love
Bingo.
That. What's that the unit cost, Jim?
I paid about $900 for it, and it's just a small box with two plug-ins, and you slowly condition it by plugging in small amounts of appliances and LED and different things until it nano-coats all the wiring in your home.
That's amazing.
It also makes you healthier. As the nano-coating starts to affect your home, it will actually make you healthier because now all you're getting is healthy electricity in your home.
What amazing technology. Thanks for that, Jim.
Incredible. Thank you so much.
All right. Beautiful. Appreciate that.
Well, he just triggered one more thought that I do want to share with your audience with the plasma study, is that the machines that he invented would measure the human plasma. So he actually held the rods in his hand. It measured his system, and everything that was out of balance showed up on the graph. And then the next machine, he put his hands on the on a metal plate with a magnet going across, and it reconstructed his off-balance plasma field in his own body. He went back, held the initial rods, looked at the graph, and he was back to balance. So what we have here, and that was a great last call from Jim in Colorado, because what we have here is evidence that through using plasma physics, we're going to be able to save the dang planet. And again, I want to go to Levengood's conclusion, which was, plasma is the basis of all matter and will soon be the base of our new energy system. When you get a new energy system source at the base of your society, you create a new society. Oil was at the base of the last one. Plasma will be at the base of the next. And George, this is why I'm relentless.
You are.
I don't.
You're like a little bulldog.
Well, I live in Boulder where they've got smart grid and they're putting up all these towers that are the fake streetlights. If we don't hurry and bring in the plasma science and get rid of this dark crap going on, we're going to have a lot of problems here. But we have everything we need. Tesla knew, all these guys knew, that when we get clean energy, we're not going to have to deal with
That's
any of
right.
these problems that we're creating.
Yep, we're not held hostage. Mm-hmm. Tony in Texas. Go ahead, Tony. Good to have you with us.
Hey, George. Oh, I'm so thankful I got through. I cannot wait to tell you guys this. It has to do with the balls of light.
Okay.
I'll make it quick. I was doing a session with someone in an older building. They were getting ready to rent it out to do massage therapy.
All right.
And we were taking pictures in the room, you know, for the brochure, and no flash. There was plenty of sun. And then we started noticing that all of these balls of light started popping up into the pictures. And, I mean, there were quite a few, at least 10, and they were really pretty. They were beautiful blue and pink, and they were sort of see-through. So, you know, just intuitively, I thought, well, let me try something. And so I rolled over on my back, and I held my hands up above my head,
mm-hmm.
and I just thought to myself, I want a ball of light to appear between my hands. Okay, and I just thought maybe, you know, it was a joke and nothing would happen. Well, she snapped the picture, and I looked over at her, and she had a shocked look on her face. And I said, no way. So I got up, walked over, looked at the camera, and sure enough, one of those blue balls of light had formed right in between my hands where I mentally asked it to form. And my question is there any way to communicate with these things, and are they always associated with crop circles?
I don't know if you can communicate with them, Patty. Can you?
Plasma communicates. Absolutely. Remember the two balls of light and the binary code between them?
Yeah.
Plasma communicates. Plasma is conscious. Everything is plasma. Everything is conscious. We've got to get it, that we're not the leaders here.
Patty, we'll see you at Contact in the Desert.
That's right. Woohoo! Party starts.
And good luck on your film and all those things that you work on. Patty Greer, our website, linked up at coasttocoastam.com for you. And, of course, we've got more great programs for you all week long right here on Coast to Coast AM. Don't forget, we may be, I think we are, the only national program syndicated 7 nights a week. No tapes like that. When we're live, we're live. So we'll be back with you tomorrow. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Borles, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.